I want to use my time very carefully this morning because I've got quite a lot I want to go through at a fairly sort of rapid rate of knots. But as we begin to look at 2022 and beyond, I want to just kick the morning off by in a sense responding to Brenda's prayer, not knowing that that's the sort of line that she was going to take for, you know, anybody hate masks more than me? Not everybody. Gosh, okay then. Move on. You know, these last 23 months, don't want to harp on about it because we're all sick to death of hearing about it, but the positive nature of what I want to say is based out of Brenda's prayer, really, and it's the sort of basis of where I want to go with what we're going to say this morning. Because if there's something we've all sort of lost or been at pains to try and capture across every area of life, it's that connectivity. Whether, you know, last Christmas and not being able to be with the people that are most precious in your life, your family. Whether it's not being able to visit at some time because of isolation or lockdown. Whether it's at work and not that office banter where, you know, working at home's great other than you just go through more custard creams than ever. Again, you're just not rolling me. It's just me then. And of course, church. We've all had the challenge of somehow capturing a connectivity. And I want to just take a moment. It won't be the only time I ever sort of say this to just appreciate you people and the many, many people who make up Life Church, who over this last couple of years I've really gone to use a phrase that Maria loves, above and beyond. And so for Maria, for the leadership team, for everybody who serves in whatever capacity, whether that's been online in those days of pre-recorded services and watching and all that sort of stuff, then the live streaming here and getting to grips with new equipment, whether it's continuing to serve the kids through stuff that people have sent out monthly and served here, whether it's running a life group, whether it's visiting people, whether it's making phone calls, the list goes on and on and on. All those things have happened and we've responded to that and sought to sort of keep the connectivity. And I sort of applaud all you people and everybody out there who's watching, who's been part of that great army of people that are committed to the kingdom of God, so much so that out of home and family and work and all the other things that are part of life, you've given often sacrificially to continue the work of Jesus in society today. And so, as we sort of are now into sort of 2022, a couple of weeks ago, as a leadership team, we had a sort of evening of reflection. And it is quite interesting when you look at things and sort of say, gosh, we did that and we did that and we did that. Because of time and because of focus and wondering what announcement's going to come next, we sort of lose the idea of what we've done. I don't want to call it successes. I just want to call it advancement and development. And let me just run through you just 2021, quite a number of areas that have been great developments within Life Church here. Just look at this list here. Let me just run through them. Just before the pandemic, we launched a whole new leadership structure, core leadership team, senior leadership team, and that kicked off on Zoom, unfortunately. We felt the Holy Spirit fall in that upper Zoom. Oh, last you with me. Hey, some of you are like, up a Zoom, like Acts 2, but rewrite it. That was great. Of course, just a year ago, we launched life groups, having trained life group hosts and talked so much about them now becoming really core. And I don't want to go on about that because Mark and Oliver did a great job talking about that last week. But it's only a year ago that we went, you know, way up in terms of number of life groups and people engaged. And you know the momentum that we're trying to create there. Life groups. Growth was initiated this year under the leadership of Mark Pawson, just to have a focus on seeing that, I'm going to talk about in a bit, bigger people. Life City was initiated under Sarah Strachan as we look to reach out even more and look for intentional ways to invest our time, our facilities, our money, our talents. For the first time ever, we sent some people off to a leadership training weekend called Pioneer Corps. Never done that before, and it's exciting that they went there, and they're going to continue that over the next couple of years. Of course, one big thing this year at a time of sort of holding back was we didn't hold back. We took on a new member of staff, and back in August, Connor was employed, and I'll tell you something, he's doing a flipping fantastic job. He really, really is. I love the boy to bits. Give him a big hug this morning before I left. All the challenge of finances at a time when people are furloughed and jobs might be under threat, and the great people here who run our finances sort of held it together and looked, and with great integrity kept that sort of flowing forward. We went into partnership with an organization called City of Sanctuary, and it's been my personal privilege to get to know at least one family from Kabul in Afghanistan who are located in Litchfield, and what a joy to be part of their culture and life, even though they're now in Litchfield here, and that's going to continue and grow. Of course, we've had to invest time and effort and money into our online progress and live streaming and making all that sort of stuff available for everybody who is there watching now. Alpha's continued. Mark and Vanessa have juggled that between online and in person, and the joy is at the end of it all is that people have continued to find Jesus, and we're baptizing 7 of them next week, which is just fantastic. Kenya, continued investment. The school continues to grow, and we're going to hear about that in a number of weeks' time on our Kenya Day. I think it's in April. Toddlers has re-emerged under new leadership. The Lunch Club has relaunched, and Mark and Fionn doing a great job. And I think, I won't be exaggerating to say, the numbers are certainly bigger than we've had for many years of running that Lunch Club, which is just fantastic. And then just back in October, we had a leadership day with all our leadership team. That's 30-odd people together under the theme of United, that we might really be together moving forward. That's 2021. That's in a time of pandemic, in a time when everybody's nervous about doing anything, progressing anything. And yet here at Life Church, we've pushed forward. And I honor you as part of that in whatever role you've played. So Mark and I were at a leadership day. This isn't a snack for halfway through my message. I'm not going on that long. We were at a leadership retreat the other day, and the opportunity was to pray for each of the churches represented there. And they don't know all that I've sort of shared there. We'd shared a few stories, and one of them shared a prophetic word to Mark and I, not for us personally, for Life Church. A mango. And they said, I want you to imagine a mango, and the way that most people do it, I'm going to have this all over the place. You know, they cut it like that and open it up so you've got all the peace. And they said, I want to see your ministry at Life Church. I see that the Lord's encouraging you, saying, what you've done is you have spread the surface area of your fruitfulness. That's beautiful, isn't it? And we received that with grace and gratitude and with momentum as well, that in what we've done with life groups, in what we've done with many areas of church life, we've spread the surface area of our fruit. I just think that's a lovely phrase. It's quite poetic. Spread the surface area of our fruitfulness. I'm going to leave that down there. We'll put on anything electric. Oh, that's nice. But where do we go from there? Let me share a verse with you, or a couple of verses, and then hover around this for a few minutes. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1 to 4. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took up the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt. If you're not familiar with how that story pans out, then let me encourage you to get hold of 1 Samuel 18 and read a little bit before that, but continue to read after that and just see what significance. This wasn't just emotional sort of hype, you know, oh, I have everything because I love you, mate. Actually, there was great significance that we're going to just try and tease out in a simple phrase this morning. And I brought this because sometimes these are worked out in practical ways. I'm going back to 2003. And different people in a leadership forum to what there are today. And it was just an interesting time for us as a church. And somebody, they moved away, so they're not in Litchfield or part of this church anymore, presented me with this watch in a box and a little card. I've still got the card. These verses were written in it. And this person sat with me and said, "Steve, you know, I love you. I'm committed to the future of what this church is all about." And this is, what, 17, 18 years ago. And I've read these verses, and I haven't got a bow or a sword. I've got a belt, but you're not having it. Trousers will fall down. But I've bought you a watch. Not a cheap watch. He didn't say this, but not a cheap watch. Something that will, every time you wear it, every time you look at the time, will be a sign of the covenant. That even in the days when we're apart and we're just praying for each other, you know that my prayers and my best wishes and my love are all yours. And although the watch has stopped working, I keep it beside my bed. As a real, you know, a bit like these guys did here. Why do I say that? Here's my thought. Relationships have the power to change lives. Hold that for these next few minutes. Relationships have the power to change lives. Just like that, meander through your mind. You see, the message of the gospel is based on that. Not just our relationship with God and the way that he's affected our lives, but actually then the discipleship and the commission that Christ has given to us. Go out into all the world, make disciples, baptize them and teach them everything I've told you. Relationships have the power to change lives. And so if we're talking about Vision 2022, let me put it as simple as this. The vision is you. Because our church statement is that we might grow a community of God's grace serving the world. We can't do that without you. This is a team effort. This is a togetherness. If we're going to grow a community of God's grace, that involves us getting hold of God's word, his grace, his love, an understanding of God's intention for us, for church, for that community together, that collective nature of what God is doing, that bit where Jesus in the Bible said, like, "I will build my church," and then the bulk of the writing after that is all about how he's doing that in all its monstrous, beautiful, ugly, passionate, lovely way. Bigger people. Relationships have the power to change lives. That's why life groups are the momentum that they are. That's why we create the connections that we do and the things that Tracy set up to make sure that people hopefully are not falling through the net in being cared for and loved and supported. That's why face-to-face gathering, with all the restrictions that come around and hopefully are going to be, you know, pulled back soon, are going to make such a difference. Paul understood this. Let's move from old to new. Because he used this word that we use a lot. In Philippians 1 verse 5, he wrote to these Philippian Christians and he says, "I thank God," listen to this, "from the first day until now for your partnership in the gospel." Why do I emphasize the first day till now? Because the emphasis, if you sort of follow it and have a look at what Paul's saying there, he's making the statement to say, look, before I was, forgive the word, before I was famous, before I was influential, before this apostle title came on that many people now knew my name, you supported me. You invested in what you thought the future might be, even though you couldn't see it. And therefore, with finance in Paul's case, and with a love and commitment to support him emotionally, there was that partnership together. And he uses the word, why do we use the word? Because of the same. We changed it a few years ago from membership to partnership, because as we often sort of say, you can be a member of something and never really engage with it. But partnership has a deeper meaning where it's about working together. It's about emotional investment. It's about, yeah, financial investment. We believe in the same. That's why we have partnership. Exciting, you might not think so, but exciting that for the first time Ever in my time here, we've set, are you ready for this, a deficit budget. No hallelujahs. By that, we sat a few weeks ago, the finance team, and looked at what we projected will come in this year, and looked at what we need to spend to keep the kingdom of God growing and thriving. And the out is bigger than the in. Let's take an offering now, so is this the right time? I find that exciting, challenging faith. It's uncomfortable, of course it is. Even more so when you're paid out of that pot. No pressure. And so as part of our partnership, like Paul there, I want to thank God for your partnership in the gospel from the first day, whenever that was, until now. And I invite you to continue to partner with us. In this case, financially, if you're somebody who doesn't give, then hey, come on, let's join together. Have the blessing of putting into something that's going to grow, guaranteed growth. You don't hear that in many quarters. And I'm not here to push the whole finance agenda, but it's part of partnership. It's part of together. Talk to me more about it. Talk to Maria, one of the leadership team, about it. The blessing of giving and acknowledgement that all things are from God. So, relationships have the power to change lives. Hold that. Your relationship to your possessions can change lives. Not just talking about offerings now. Just talking about how you share your life, how you hold what you've got, or how you hold it loose because you realize it's all that God has given you, and other people might just benefit from your time, your love, the whatever it might be, the meal that you provide for them. Your relationship to social media and your life input can change lives. And I say here and now, make sure you've got more positive input than negative. I've started to get rid of a few things that are just, you know, because they lodge in there. Get some more positive links. Follow people who are putting great stuff out there. Follow stories. Get Nicky Gumbel on there. He's great. The Pope. They don't follow me, just by the way. They follow them. Your relationship to other believers can change lives. There's nothing like the encouragement and prayers. You know, when people say, Steve, praying for you, I want the prayers to be effective, but I'm equally encouraged physically and emotionally because there's somebody who's committed to my well-being. And I love it, and it pours energy into my life and into my spirit and into my momentum. And I need it, honestly. Your relationship with other believers can change lives. And so what Mark and Oliver said last week is so crucial. If you're not part of a life group, get in there. Not just for your benefit, although you are missing out, but for others' benefit who can thrive on the stories that you tell, on the prayers that you share. Relationships really can change lives. Your relationship to the world around can change lives. That's why we have this thing, 168, again, referred to last week. What's your relationship to the world around? Don't just closet yourself away. At a time when we've been asked to closet ourselves away, there's still the opportunity and love and grace to present something of the gospel of God in whatever ways that we can, with neighbors, with family, with friends, with workmates, with whoever it might be. Your relationship to the Bible and prayer can change lives. Because then you get not just personal growth, but you get perspective on life in a way that God wants it to be. Stood here 2 years ago, and you'll remember this if you were here, talked about, do you want a default year or a designer year? yeah. That's like a few weeks before we suddenly hit lockdown. And the crowd that were here stood and said, I don't want a default year, just everything as it has been before. I want a designer year. And God went, okay. Cheers for that. So just be careful before you respond now. I don't know where you sit with everything. We're all beautifully individual. We all have our take on some of the emphasis that the Bible brings to us. We all have our sort of worldview on issues and life. And as we sit here today, and I'm just presenting a very simple message as the vision for this year, that relationships have the power to change lives. So make sure that your relationships are pure and whole and full and thriving. But what if this were your best year ever? That's deep and theological, isn't it? What if this were your best year ever? When I just considered that the other day, putting this together, I say to you today, I want that for me. I could tell you stories, personal stories of years that have just been amazing because of what's happened, whether that's been family events that have happened or other stuff that's gone. There's dates when you go, what years are memorable? Yeah, I could give you two or three dates without a doubt. And they're mainly sort of family related and not washing them away at all. But as I stand before God this morning with the great adventure of all the years of ministry, of being involved in leadership here for what seems like eternity, I stand before you today and say, I would love this to be my best year ever. And I don't exactly know what that looks like. I'm not setting something before you and saying, so I'd like to do this and this and this. I've got a sort of 2022 bucket list. One of my biggest things that would go in there would be to see each one of you and everybody watching and listening, whether today or in the next day or two, to actually thrive in your business, in your marriage, in your family, in all the hats that you wear in life. I would love this to be your best year ever. Go to places that you've never been to before and enjoy the landscape and adventure and taste and whatever's part of that. Meet people that you've never met before. Read books out from authors that perhaps you've never ventured into, and you're just going to be like, wowed. All adding to that weight of this yet could be my best year. But what about our fruitfulness for the kingdom of God? For Alpha, may this be your best year ever. We speak it now in Jesus' name. For the kids group, may it be their best year. For all the life group hosts that are here and watching, may it be your best year ever. Whatever stage of life your kids are in, you know, going into senior school or just beginning school or whatever it is, may this be your best year ever, with the joy of seeing them thrive and the education and all that goes with it. If there's a new job, a new home, may this year be just brilliant as you settle into them roles and see the great purpose of God in where He's placed you and what He's blessed you with. So what if this were your best year ever? Here's my last statement on my notes here. Pray for it, look for it, work for it, and commit to it. Don't just amble on. That's not the life that God has called us to. He's called us to be purposeful, to be intentional about the way that we live. And so tie those two bits together. Relationships have the power to change lives. And what if this were my best year ever? And let me just pull it together and then close. What about us as a church? If this were our best year ever, what does that mean? Wow. Baptizing 7 people next week. May we have to get that baptismal tank out several times this year. Fantastic. May we be in a rush to get life group host trained because we haven't got enough groups to get everybody in. May it be that somehow we have to spread the kids all over the building because there's so many of them we can't get them in the sports hall. That'd be a joy, wouldn't it? Lunch club has to have 2 sittings. Sorry, no. Sorry, I'm on a roll, Marky. To see the fruit of the gospel in lives, in homes, in this community. Wow. I don't want to finish, but I'm going to. We've spread the surface area of our fruitfulness. We've committed ourselves to the agenda of God for this place. And I invite us all here and those that are watching, let's partner together in the way that Paul talked about it. If there's talents and gifts that you've got there that we can use, just come and say, Steve, don't offer yourself to me. No. You offer yourself to God. Whatever it is, possessions, money, gift, time. You see where I'm going. Just bow your heads if you would. James, where are you, mate? Let's just have a guitar, James. And just as James plucks away, sorry, I don't know if that's technical. Just absorb what I believe the Lord has told me to share. It's a vision morning, but we've not come with great projects and ideas. We're saying the vision is about me and you. Bigger people. Fruitfulness. And throwing the challenge in, what if this were our best year ever? Oh God. Holy Spirit, just come in these final few moments now. Take the things that I've shared. Burn them in our hearts. May our hearts overflow and have a sense of overload because of the expectation that you generate in each of us. Oh God. And we call ourselves to, first of all, partner with you. But then to commit ourselves to one another in the way that you've called us to do. Jesus. So just where you are, before I pray again, just make that commitment in your heart. Whatever the Holy Spirit's saying to you now, while we're in this moment, capture the moment. Oh, Jesus. And all this begins with the amazing grace that God has shown to us. Just stand with me if you would. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing this old but so powerful song together. All you people that are watching online, I invite you to stand with us as well. I know we can't see you doing it, but please, just where you sat in your homes, just stand with us. As a commitment together to God, to his work through us, to the partnership that he's called us to. And may each one of you, may this be your best year ever in whatever your life is about. So Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit into our hearts. And we pray, God, that as you afresh come into our hearts, our minds, our lives, you'd stir again that sediment, and the richness of your love and your life and your mission will mix again and give us that rich sense of not just the hope that's in us, but the hope that we have to share with those around. Oh Father, release us, we pray, from despair and despondency. Take away unbelief and replace it with expectation, with hope. May we be the most positive people on this planet because we trust a God who holds it all in his hands. So we give ourselves to you now. in Jesus' name.